1 Peter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of the gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for the wonderful Word of God. I thank you for the Bible, God's Word. And I ask you again once tonight, Lord, to empower this preacher. Give me the wisdom I need. We need to have a blessing from you, Lord, a blessing on this congregation. And the way we can do that is through the wonderful, blessed book, the Word of God. So I need you, Lord, to help me as I preach. And then we know that you'll take the Word of God. You'll use it, Lord, as the Holy Spirit of God takes it and, Lord, works upon our hearts concerning these things. So once again tonight, your will be done. And we pray that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Told you this morning we was going to bring a message which I've entitled A Weak or Strong Marriage. A strong marriage does not just happen. Now that's maybe a very light statement, but it just doesn't happen by accident. It just doesn't take place. A marriage has to be built. There are certain basic principles. If a marriage is going to be what it ought to be, there are certain basic principles that cannot be ignored. We cannot ignore them. We're going to have to build a marriage. You have to work at that. You have to build upon and, first of all, set a good foundation for that marriage. There are couples all over this country. Over 50% of marriages nowadays, over 50% end in divorce. And there's couples, many couples, well-meaning couples. And in fact, it's kind of scary because many of those couples are inside the church. And I want to say something to you, and I'm serious, because I hesitate always to say something like this because it just seems like Satan has a way of, you know, when you've said something or maybe not bragged on somebody, but then all at once he gives you trouble. But I'm saying this. I am so thankful for the stability of the marriages at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, I'm serious about that. Now, I didn't say he was all perfect. I didn't say everything is going perfect, but I said to you, I am so thankful for the stability. Now, I know you go through troubles and difficulties and trials. I understand all that, but thank God for the stability here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church where people just on a whim don't take off from each other. Now, I thank God for that. Now, I did not say that there was not things that need to be worked on. Amen. But I am thankful and I'm grateful. This pastor is very grateful that we have a church that believes in marrying and staying married and just believe that's the way it's supposed to be. And I thank God for that, you know. And again, I'm going to say something. We have people within our church who are married and divorced. Now listen to me. I thank God for those people. They've got that behind them. And they're where they are right today. And this preacher says, thank you, Lord, for them. They're very important to this church. You can't go back and change things. You can't go back and change all of that. You've got to go from where you are. So again, I want you to know publicly, I say to you, thank God for you, and wherever you are, just stick in there, stay right where you are, stay married, and just go on for God. Amen? And thank the Lord for you, that your stability also in your marriages. I appreciate that more than you'll ever know as a pastor. Means a lot to me to be able to look out and see a congregation that loves the Lord and wants to just do what God says, and you got married, you believe that that's the way it's supposed to be, and you're just going to do it. That's right. Amen. That is proper, and that is right. But let me say something to you. Couples sometimes are shocked when their marriages break up. They say, what happened? Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen to me. They never did have a strong marriage. Now, I'm saying that kindly and nice, but they never did have a strong marriage. That's one of the things that I want you to see tonight, because you see, a strong marriage does not break up when trouble comes. It's welded more together. A strong marriage will just weld together. Amen. And whatever problems come and heartaches come, it's just going to be welded more together. Because that's the way God does in a marriage. So I'm saying to you, these things have to be built from the beginning. If they're not built from the beginning, they need to be taken and looked at and said, you know what, we haven't got a strong marriage in this area. We need to develop that. We need to build on that and begin to build a strong marriage from where we're at right now. We need to do that. I want to show you a principle, and let's go over to Matthew, the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Seventh chapter of the book of Matthew, I want to read two verses, verse 26 and 27. Again, very familiar verses of Scripture. It says, and everyone, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, I know that we could preach on that as an individual. We could preach on that also as a church. We could apply that. But the principle is also true in a marriage. The Word of God says if you're going to build a marriage on sand, when the troubles come and the wind blows and the rains come, the floods come, it's going to fall. So what he's teaching us simply is this: there must be built on the right foundation. Marriage must have the right foundation or it's going to fall. Over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 10th verse says this: Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's 1 Corinthians, first chapter, 10th verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Once again, he's speaking to the church, but let me say to you also, that also can be applied to the marriage, to a husband-wife relationship. God is saying to us here that there ought not to be divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Husbands and wives ought to have the same mind about things. They ought to be welded together. Now, folks, I think you already understand it. That doesn't mean you're going to like all the same colors. You're going to like all the same little things and all that. But you're going to have, for the whole purpose of marriage and building a life together, you're going to have all of the same mind. This is the kind of marriage we want to build. This is the direction we want to go. And God is telling us a church can't go if it's divided against itself. It can't do it. And neither can a marriage. A marriage absolutely cannot be divided against itself. It must go forward with the same mind, same direction, have the same purpose of heart. So what God is saying is, you got to build the right kind of foundation. And if it don't, you don't build the right kind of foundation, it's going to be on shaky ground, and the sand is, if it's built on the sand, it's going to fall. But you build it on the rock, and it won't fall. Okay? So remember, what do? Well, we get the right foundation. First of all, let me say to you, spiritual foundation is absolutely necessary. The right kind of spiritual foundation is absolutely necessary for a good marriage. Now, let me make a statement. There is people in this world today who have marriages that have lasted many, many years, and they're not saved. But let me tell you why. You'll go back and look in their lives, they'll be using the biblical principles in their marriage that God puts in His book. They may not be saved, but they'll be treating each other the same way the Bible tells us to do. They'll have applied those. They may go to hell when they die, but they'll have a good marriage. And it's because they've used the principles of the Bible, the Word of God, to build that marriage. They may not understand, they may not realize that, but they have learned them somewhere and they're using them, and so they have a decent marriage. But let me say to you, you'll never have a good marriage like you want to have, a strong marriage like you need to have, if you don't build that on the spiritual foundation. That comes first. You've got to build your marriage on the spiritual foundation. Now, not only is there a spiritual foundation, and we're going to talk about these, but keep in mind, that is always the first. Spiritually building your marriage, first of all, is the foundation you must build off of. There's also emotional bonds that bond us together. Folks, let me tell you, a couple gets married. They begin to live together and love each other and care about each other, and they just begin to work together, and they don't know each other very well. Let me say something to you. You don't know that one. If you're just going with someone, you don't know them yet. No way. You may think you do. But you learn them after you get married and you spend time with them. That's when you learn about them. That's when you learn what they're all about and how it's going to be being married to them. Every individual, I don't know who doesn't do that. But when you first start going with someone, you put forth your best foot. You're trying to win that person. And you put forth your best foot. But after marriage, things kind of settle down. We're becoming ourselves. Amen? But there is an emotional bond. It's these experiences that you share together that will help weld your marriage together. There is all kinds of things. I'm just going to name a few of them. But you know when you plan to get a home, plan to get a new house, or whatever it is where you're going to go, you know, those are plans that help weld you together. You talk about them. You plan for them. You think about them. You dream about them. And you work together on them. And you think, oh, this is the kind of home I want. And the Lord is going to give us a home. And we're going to have a house where we can live in. All of those things help build you and weld you together as a couple, emotionally. Not only that, you make purchases, whether it be a car or whatever furniture or whatever it may be. Those are times that are very important in your life because you just kind of work together with them and you buy things together and you purchase things together. And all of that time, God is doing something in your life. That's why this preacher gets up here and talks about these young people. Don't want everything at once, folks. Please don't. It hurts you. It's not going to let you put something together that's going to be lasting and the memories are going to be sweet and good. You take it a step at a time. But there's all kinds of things. The arrival of a child comes. Oh, that's an exciting time in a family. Right, Valerie? Amen. Valerie here, she thinks it's going to be within this next week sometime. Not sure, maybe a week from Monday, but she thinks maybe before that. And she's excited about that, and Jason's excited about it. That just does something to a marriage. Children, whether you think so or not, are good for a marriage. They are good for a family, and they weld you together in a way that nothing else can. And not only that, when you get to planning for this child's education, one of these things, you're going to have to educate them. Where are you going to educate them? How are you going to educate them? How are you going to provide for their Christian college education? How are you going to do that? Amen? So where you're going to work together for it. You're going to put money aside. You're going to get ready for it. You're going to prepare for it. That's what you're going to do. That's all working together. And all of those through all of that, there's a welding going on. And you're bonding together, you see. Not only that, there's trips you want to take and you're excited about taking a trip. There's trips you want to take and can't because you can't afford it. And you sit and bemoan that and talk about it, but it's all these disappointments and the good times and the things you get to do together that helps build you as a family. So do things together. Do things with your children. Do things with each other. Spend some time with each other. And remember these dreams. And all of your dreams are not going to materialize. They're not going to, but that's okay. Even the planning of them and the disappointments of them sometimes are very, very important to us. Not only that, you plan for the future. You begin to think about the future. What am I going to do? One of these days, here I am, 20 years old. One of these days, I'm going to be 60, like Pastor Ross. And what am I going to do for the future? Amen? And you begin to plan for the future, and you begin to think, what am I going to do for the future? And you plan together, and you build these plans and these dreams together. Those are important emotional times in your life that begins to build you as a family. Not only that, there's times when sickness comes. And you say, Brother Ross, sicknesses are, boy, they're tough. Well, they may be tough, but let me say something to you. They put a weld together. If it's right and proper, they do something for each other. Sicknesses are designed by God many times to help build our marriage and build us as an individual. Amen? Don't look at someone who has some sicknesses and say, well, they must have done something terrible. Well, that's not true. Many times it's God working through that individual, working in lives to build things and work things together to build them as an individual, build them in their spiritual life. You see, so sicknesses also draw you together. You remember here a while back, and I don't know what you remember, but I preached on that. But we talked about sometimes that when there's sicknesses in a family, a husband and wife maybe get sick, or one of them gets sick, and the kids start pitching in and helping build that, and maybe do the lunches and do the house cleaning and all of those things. Folks, that's not bad. Amen. That's good. Amen. That builds something in a family life, you see. It's right. It's good. It does something, you see. And all of them times, you're building something in your marriage. Then comes along the sad times. You may lose a friend or even a loved one somewhere along the line. And even during those times, God uses to help us. You know, we draw near together, don't we, when someone has died, someone special has died, a friend or maybe a family member. It just, God uses that to do something, to bond our marriage together. Amen? Those are important times, you see. And God uses all of those things. Then a financial crisis comes along. Amen? Has anybody been there? Financial crisis come along. You say, oh no, what am I going to do now? And you begin to talk about them and pray about them. You get along with God and you say, God, what are we going to do? How am I going to get out of this financial mess I've got myself into? What am I going to do? And God begins to work even in those financial crises. He begins to work in your life and do something. Because you know what you're doing? You're working together to see to the needs and to make sure that things are going to go right. You work together in those things. It's important that you do that. And then it can be a very serious thing, maybe a serious accident, maybe an injury to an individual. Puts them laid up. I don't understand all these things, folks, but listen, if you're a Christian, you're not outside the will of God when an accident comes along, an injury comes along. God uses those things. It's not fun. It's not something you enjoy going through, but God uses those things. And what I'm simply saying to you is this. There's that emotional times in our life that it bonds us together as a husband and wife. And that's what God is wanting to do. Amen? Not only that, we also, and I'll spend just a little bit of time on this, but we also have what we call the physical bond. I will not spend a lot of time on it. I'll be careful what I say, because there's children in the room, but listen to me very carefully. The physical bond that we have between a husband and wife is very, very important. He tells us not to defraud each other. And I think you're wise enough, I think you're old enough to understand without me spelling it out what he's talking about. It's very, very important. The physical part of a marriage is very, very important. Now, you've got to work all of those things out. I understand that. But folks, listen, don't defraud each other. Your preacher's being honest with you, because the Word of God says, don't defraud each other. Amen? I know it's getting quiet, but listen to me. That is a very, very important, that's a bond that bonds you together. It's very important in the marriage. Okay? So don't defraud each other. You see, what happens is when all of these things work together, they all work together, you begin to grow in respect for one another. You see your husband or your wife going through difficult times. You see them facing problems and troubles. There's nothing wrong with that. There's times when I know my wife is facing some hard times and difficult times, and she may be going through a difficult time. That's not a time to come down and put my foot on her. That's a time to help her. And she does the very same thing for me. Listen, folks, I don't know a person in here that doesn't have hard times and difficult times in their life. And when they're down, and they just, they're Satan's fighting them, or whatever it might be. Just maybe in their own life, they're just facing some things that's hard and difficult. That's not a time to step on them. That's a time to encourage them and help them, you see. And let me say to you, your respect will grow for one another as you see the other one go through difficult times and hard times and see them come out of that and giving God the glory and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's a wonderful thing, you see. I believe something. I believe we ought to live in such a way that so that we'll always have, the other partner will always have an admiration and a respect for your partner. No, it does not mean that they're not going to do some things that won't be correct sometimes. But I believe we ought to live in such a way. I believe with all of my heart I ought to live my life in such a way that my wife can be proud of me. I believe that with the bottom of my heart. And I try to practice that. I didn't say I was perfect. You know I'm not. Is that true or not? But you know I'm not. My wife especially knows I'm not. But what I'm saying to you is this. I try to live in such a way that she'll be proud of me in whatever I do. Amen? And I believe she does the same thing for me. And you know, we make our mistakes. We don't always do right. But I want to tell you something. I want her to be proud of her husband. I want to live in such a way that she can always be proud of me. In the right kind of pride I'm talking about. I want to live that away. I want to be that kind of person, see, for her. First of all, for the Lord, and then also for her. So there's all these bonds. There's the spiritual, there's the emotional, and certainly there is the physical. And I want to say to you, you've got to keep them in order. Spiritual always is the foundation in which you're going to build on. You've got to build a spiritual life, a spiritual foundation, or the other ones will get all out of whack, you see. See, a lasting marriage cannot be built on emotional things and physical things. It's a part of your life. It's part of it. But you can't build on that foundation. See, that's where so many marriages go wrong, because they do not build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when all these other things fall apart too, all at once, their marriage is gone. You've got to build on the spiritual foundation. Put that spiritual foundation in your marriage, and I'll guarantee you these other things will fall in place, and you'll be able to work on these other things and do the right things, because the spiritual is correct. So just remember, you cannot build. It's got to be order. It's got to be spiritual. Got to be emotional, sure. And it's got to be physical, sure. But you're going to have a spiritual foundation. You see, what happens is this. Marriages that are built on an emotional foundation or a physical foundation, there's things that keep them going. When you talk about the emotional foundation, you talk about people planning trips, spending money. I see this all the time. They're always on the go. They're always doing something. They're always planning a project. They've always got something going, you know. But when it comes down to really having stability in their marriage, that's what keeps them going. I mean, they go out and they buy something, and they start a project here, and they start, and there's nothing wrong with doing some of those things, but that's the foundation which they built on. Right. And you can't do that. You're it's going to fall apart one of these days if you do that. See, a lot of things that keeps women going, so they get money, and they can go out and they just buy anything you want, and buy something new, and get this and get that. And the man, he's busy with his work and got a job, and he stays busy, and one of these days the kids grow up and they're gone, and all at once they don't know each other. They don't even know each other. And so their marriage begins to fall apart because they've not built on the spiritual foundation. Now, I'm going to stress that on that spiritual foundation. Don't throw that out. I don't care who you are today. If you don't build on the spiritual foundation, you're going to have trouble down the road. Oh, you may stick in there. Yeah, there's people who sticks in a marriage, and if you want to know the real truth about it is they wish it could be dissolved because they're living in misery. Because they haven't built on the right foundation. Yes, they stick together for the sake of the children. They stick together for the sake of what other people and what they'll say. But if you ask them truthfully, and they was truthfully, they'd say, I wish it would end. And it's because the foundation has not been built right. You see, you can't build on an emotional foundation. You can't build on a physical foundation. It becomes that attraction that holds them together. This physical attraction holds you together. But folk, if you don't have more than that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You've got to have more than that. Amen? So you got to build on the spiritual foundation, you see. I see so many young couples many times will build on the emotional and physical, and they leave the spiritual out. Let me say something to you, young couples and young people. It's better, if you're going to build a house, it's better to get the construction right when you begin than it is to change the plans in the middle of the construction. Do you know that's better? You know, if you'll start your marriage off right and you'll build on a spiritual foundation, you'll be surprised what God will be able to do in your life, where you won't have to have a lot of these troubles that other people have down the road because they didn't build on that spiritual foundation. See? The spiritual bond that draws people together, those kind of people want their marriage to work. If you will build on the spiritual foundation, because we know that's the foundation that God wants us to build on, they want that marriage to work. You haven't been in my office the hundreds of times I've had people come into my office and I give them spiritual advice and they want nothing to do with spiritual advice. They want an easy cure for their marriage. And when the easy cure is not given to them, they no longer want to come into my office. Folks, there isn't any easy cure unless you're willing to do it God's way. You take the Bible, the Word of God, you begin to follow the principles of God's Word, and I'll guarantee you God will work through your marriage and build your marriage and strengthen your marriage if you'll do it God's way. If you're not willing to do it God's way, let me say to you, you've got problems coming down the road. Amen? So build a foundation. Now, what are some of those? First of all, very simply, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, Brother Ross, I'm saved. Okay, good. But let me say to you, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you want a good marriage, you're both going to have to be saved. Simplicity in preaching, but let me just say to you, you both need to know Christ as your personal Savior. See, in 1 Peter, I think it's the third verse, he tells us... first verse. He says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. First of all, in 1 Peter there, the third chapter, what does he deal with first? He says, wives, if you have a husband unsaved, do everything you can to get him saved. That's first. That's what you're going to need to have a good marriage. Get him saved. And he even gives instructions to wives how to do that in the next few verses. Tells them how to do it. But he deals, first of all, with a relationship with God. Folks, if you have an unsaved person, an unsaved partner, the greatest thing you do is begin to work on his or her salvation. Because that's the only way you're all going to have the kind of marriage that you really need, is if both people are saved. Says, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, they also may without a word, that's what it says, that's what it means, that second word is without a word, in other words, you don't have to speak a word, they will be won by the conversation of the house, of the wife, or the behavior of the wife. It's a horrible thing. I've seen it down through the years. I've seen women who have unsaved husbands. They talk about them. They run them down. They criticize them. They nag at them. It's the worst thing in the world you could do. Absolutely opposite of what the Word of God says to do. Absolute opposite. So if you want to win them, then show forth how much you love God and what God's done for your life. And you don't even have to say a word a lot of times. Just set forth an example of what God is doing through your life. Amen. So you don't do that. You're not going to nag somebody into getting saved. I've seen this happen too many times. I've seen men aggravated and mad at their wives because all they do is they nag at them about going to church and nag at them about this and that. Love them. And let God take care of them, because God's got some promises there. He said, I can take care of this. You just let me. So he's telling us, first of all, certainly we need to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Person who doesn't, in a marriage, if there's one unsaved, there is some problems. But what I'd say is those problems can be corrected. We need to be saved. Secondly, in verse number 12, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If you notice two times in that verse of Scripture, he talked about the Lord. Well, you say, that's okay. Yes, it is. But do you know what Lord means? Do you really understand that the word Lord speaks of authority? Let me use a word that you'll understand. He's boss. Jesus is to be the Lord. Now, if you want a right kind of marriage, you're going to have to come to the decision that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. He's the Lord. He's going to run the home. He's going to decide where you go. He's going to decide what you do. He's going to decide all the things of your life because He's Lord. He has the right to do it. And if you'll submit yourself unto Him, if the wife will submit herself unto the Lord and forget her will in this thing, and the husband will submit his will unto the Lord and forget his will in this thing, I'll guarantee you God will do a tremendous, wonderful thing. But if you're going to go into a marriage, even if you're saved, and decide that God is not going to be the one that guides your home, you're in trouble. God must be the one who is the Lord over the home. Listen to me. I've just heard so many things in my 30 years of preaching. I've heard husbands and wives. I've heard them just absolutely refuse to take the Word of God and do what the Word of God says. Listen to me. Don't criticize each other. Lord wants me to say that again. Don't sit around and criticize each other and be hateful to each other and talk down each other. Did you know God was good to you in giving you the partner He gave you? No, He was good to you. And the sooner that you understand that and realize that, God was good. What have you got a right to run down that which God gave you? Amen. Shame on you, husband or wife, for running down their partner and criticizing their partner. What you ought to be doing is getting on your knees, thanking God for her or him. And thank God that she's the one that God gave you, that he's the one that God gave you. Thank God for that. And appreciate what God has done for you, you see. Now make him the Lord of your life. He's the one that controls your life. Another thing is this. In verse number 3, set right priorities. You got saved. You made the Lord of your life, of your marriage. Now set the correct priorities. Look at verse number 3 of chapter 3. Who is adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. We'll talk about the meek and quiet spirit in just a few moments. But if you'll notice, God said, don't let it be all of those things he mentioned in verse number 3. Let it not be that outward adorning, you see, plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. He says, don't let it be the worldly things, the physical thing. Let it be the spiritual. Set your priorities right. Be sure that the spiritual is first in that family. Be sure that you understand that it's more important that you go to church than it is that you go to a worldly amusement. That spiritual things will absolutely come first in your life. Set right and correct priorities in your life, you see. Thank God for someone who is honest and hardworking and faithful, a spiritual mate that God has given you. And that's more important than a new house or a new car or how much money he makes. If you've got someone who loves the Lord and is leading the home, ladies, and loves the Lord and is leading that home, I want to tell you something. You live in a shack if you have to. Because you've got a jewel on your hands. Amen. And if you've got someone who loves the Lord and walks with God, you've got a jewel on your hands. And that's more important than all the other attributes she'll ever have. She may not be as pretty as some other lady, but I want to tell you, she's prettier inside. And you've got a jewel on your hands when you've got someone who loves God and walks with God and serves God. You've got someone very, very special, and that's more important than all the other things that there is. There's some ladies that spend all their time worrying about and fretting about the things of this world. folks, you better start fretting about the spiritual things. Did you know something? There is some folk that you cannot talk about spiritual things with. Did you know that there are some people who don't even want to mention the name of Jesus Christ? That you will ever hear them say Jesus Christ? I want to tell you something. That scares me. You know, you cannot call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm truly talking about calling Him truly Lord without the Holy Spirit of God. And there's some people who can't talk about Jesus Christ. They can't talk about the Lord. Though they can talk about new cars and new houses and all these other worldly things, but they cannot talk about the Lord. That's scary to me. You know what I believe? I believe, men and ladies, you ought to know a little bit about your flock. I think you ought to just kind of look around and know whether your husband and wife are saved or not. And if they aren't saved, you need to get to praying. Because I'm going to tell you, just work in the church is not salvation. You can do all the kinds of things you want to in the church and still be as lost as you can be. But you need to find out, are you born again? And ask yourself the question, do you have trouble speaking of Jesus Christ? Do you have trouble holding a conversation with someone about the Lord? If we're saved, why would we have trouble talking about the goodness of God? That's scary. Amen? So get your priorities straight. Going to church together is very, very important. Amen? It's more important than going anywhere else together. That serving God through His church is better than serving some worldly organization. See, this is the organization, if you want to call it that, organism, I guess you'd call it, that God set up, the church. And that's what we ought to serve through. You may do other things, but let me tell you something. It's more important to be here Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning services, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's more important than any other organization there is on the face of this earth. The church. And you need to realize that and get a hold of that. That's more important than any of these other things. You need to also understand and get your priorities right that the spiritual education of your children is much more important than his or her secular education. Spiritual education of our children is much more important. How they turn out for God is more important than how they turn out in this world. Amen. So the Word of God, of course, tells us that if our affections are in the right place, our affections are going to be on things above, not on things on the earth. So set your priorities right. Where is the priorities of your life? Where are they at? Are they on things above or things on this earth? If you want to have a right kind of marriage, you're going to have to set your affections on things above and not on things on earth. Not only that, be sure in verse number 4, I think I read it, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not the corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Be sure also that you maintain a sweet spirit with each other. Remember something. You're one. I learned something a long time ago. Anything that hurts this lady down here hurts me because we're one. Anything that hurts me hurts her because we're one. We need to understand, we need to keep a sweet spirit. You see, God is more interested, in verse number 4, God is more interested in that sweet spirit, that meek and quiet spirit, than He is in all these other things He talked about adorning with. I'm interested in that sweet spirit. We need to keep a sweet spirit with each other. Look over in 1 Peter, the second chapter, please. Verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously." You know, this is the example Jesus Christ gave. And what we want to do when someone reviles us, whether it's a husband or a wife reviles us, what happens? We want to jump back down their throat. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not do that. You see, we need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in our marriages. We need to realize that there may be times when your partner loses it. There may be some times when your partner is just not is having a terrible day. I hate to say that, but they've just had a bad day. They've had everything on them, and they don't always respond like they ought to respond. That's not a time for you to jump down their throat. That's not what Jesus would do. If so, he'd be down my throat most of the time. And he sure treats me good. Lord Jesus treats me wonderfully. Amen? So again, I'm simply saying to you folks, what God is saying is keep a sweet spirit. You can do that. With God's help, you can do it. Look in verse number 8 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. He said, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Hey, when I'm reading those verses of scriptures, who is he just talking to? He's just talking to husbands and wives up here. Now, folks, that's not just in brethren. That's just not in a church service. He says, you know what? We ought to treat our husbands and wives right. And he says in verse number 9, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but count the wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereto called and that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil," that means to avoid or dodge evil, "and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, he's not just talking about a church there, which that certainly is included. He's preaching to the church and telling the church, but he's talking to husbands and wives. Why should we take our tongue and use our tongue against that which is so precious? Let me say something to you. I'm going to say that. I want you to listen to me, and some of you folk will know if it's happening. A husband that would go around and ridicule and talk down his wife is a dirty dog. And a wife that goes around and talks down her husband is a dirty dog. Maybe worse. You have no right to go around to other people and criticize your husband or wife. You have no right to do that. And the greatest thing that could ever happen to an individual like that is about 10 people, the first time they said one word, would say, "Shut up! I'm sick and tired of hearing you do that. Quit it! I'm not going to listen to you." It's what needs to be done. And I'm saying to you folks, God tells us not to speak evil, take that tongue and ridicule. That is your wife. That is your husband. So don't go around criticizing him, running him down, and saying terrible things about him. You have no right to do that. True? Amen. Everybody agrees with me. Lift up your hand. Thank you. Amen. And if you're doing that, then don't you think you ought to quit it? Amen. Think you ought to quit it? You have no right to do that. No right whatsoever. Amen. You keep a good spirit about you. Have a sweet spirit to each other. You're one in Christ. Now, one other thing here. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I want to show you something. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse number 12. Well, I'll read verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. I'll read the verse 15. Says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." If you notice there, the Bible tells us that God has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. He's talking about coming to the unity. It's a verses of scripture that talks about the unity of the faith, that a church should have this unity of faith. Now, if that is true for the church, let me say to you also, it is true for the marriage. You need to have a unity of faith. In other words, you need to be settled on your doctrine as a husband and wife and what you believe. Some time back, I preached on five of the fundamentals of faith. First of all, let me say to you, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is absolutely true. It's Bible. And the husband and wife ought to know that and believe that together. Not only that, the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, in other words, he was your substitute. Instead of you going to hell, you going to the cross, he went there for us. We ought to believe that. Husband and wife ought to believe that together. Not only that, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe in the bodily resurrection. Jesus rose again. A husband and wife ought to have those things common in their beliefs. Not only that, the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. In other words, this is the Bible, the Word of God. You ought to have that settled in your hearts as a husband and wife. Your doctrine ought to be the same. You ought to believe that this is the Bible, the Word of God, and you take it for sure that that's what it is. It is true. Amen? And you ought to believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. And he is. And that ought to be a hope that you look forward to. So I'm simply saying if the doctrine, the right doctrine, united a church, it will unite a marriage. It'll do something special for a marriage. You ought to have and you ought to believe the doctrine of the Bible, the Word of God together. I'd be very careful if there was someone who didn't believe one of these fundamental doctrines. I wouldn't have anything to do with them. I'm talking about as far as marriage is concerned. And every marriage needs that stability, you see, and believe in the Word of God and that it is God's Word, you see. Now, the Bible tells us this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How are you going to build those doctrines in your marriage? How are you going to build anything? Well, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get in church. You're going to hear the Bible preached. Year after year after year after year after year after year, you're going to hear the Bible preached. You're going to hear it taught. That's what you're going to do. Because what that does is builds a unity together. You believe the same thing. You believe the Bible, believe the Word of God. So you get in church, and you just stay in church, and you just go there every time the doors open. You're just in church. That's just what you do. It's part of life. And that'll help build your marriage, you see. Did you know it's almost impossible to build a good, strong marriage outside of the canopy of the local church? Almost impossibility. Most marriages that fall apart, these folk are not a part of a good Bible-believing fundamental Baptist church. I told you a while ago, I'm thankful for the stability that's in this church. A lot of that is because of yourselves being willing to have a stable marriage and also the preaching and teaching that's done in this church that binds you together as a couple. Amen? And that's what it's all about, you see. You need that. You need to have that wonderful, wonderful security in Christ, the spiritual life. You need all of that. You need to have that. It'll build your marriage. One other thing, and we'll close. Get the chain of command worked out in your marriage. Now, you say, Brother Ross, well, look at Peter. Let's go back to Peter. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Look at verse number 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Get the chain of command that God has put down in his word, corrected and in place in your marriage. Who is the head of the home? God said the man was. Did God say for the man to be under subjection to the wife? No, he did not. He said just the opposite. Now, you can sit there and you can say, well, it just isn't going to work in my home. That's why your home's a mess. It will work because God set the standard. Amen. That's the way God said to do it. So what I'm saying to you, ladies, don't nag and gripe and browbeat and pressure your husbands. Love them. Respect them. Let them know you love them. and be in subjection unto them. Why? Because God said to. Ladies, listen to me. Don't be a backseat driver. You see, a lot of ladies want to call their husbands the head of the home, but in reality, they're calling the shots from the back seat. It's unscriptural. You get your home in order and get your chain of command in order. If you want a right kind of marriage, you'll get that taken care of if it isn't already taken care of. Amen? You won't have the right kind of marriage. You cannot have the right kind of marriage if you go outside of the chain of command that God put down in His Word. So what's the best thing for us to do? Well, best thing for us to do is men step up and be the leadership. Ladies get in subjection to their husbands because that's what the Bible says. I know that irritates you if you're one out here leading. I know that irritates you, but that's what God said. And God knows more about it than you do. Amen? He's the one established it. And He knows more about it than any of us. So the best thing we could do is just get these things in order and do what God says and strengthen our marriages. I want you to have strong marriages. You say, Brother Ross, I think our marriage is pretty good. Well, then strengthen it. Keep it strong. Amen? Take some of these things that you've heard tonight and apply them and put them in place and do what God says and strengthen that marriage, you see, because it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference when you get old. Amen. I thank God I don't have to fight my wife. I'm 60 years old. I'm too tired and I don't know what you call it, stubborn or what, to fight. But I'm glad I don't have to fight my wife. I really do. I'm just thankful to the Lord that I don't have to fight her and go, you know, her go against me. And I appreciate that so much. She's an individual. She's a person. But I'm very grateful we have a marriage where we love each other. And I do. I would say it from this pulpit. I love her with all of my heart. She's very special to me and always has been for the last 43 and a half years. And I, you know what I know? I know yours is too. And that's the way it ought to be. It's the way God wants it to be. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the Bible, the Word of God. Help us to have strong marriages. Lord, if they're weak, or maybe they're just weak in areas, help us to strengthen them. Help us to do the will of God so that we'll just have those good, strong, solid marriages with stability in them, Lord, that we'll be able to serve you together. And we thank you and ask you to just deal in any way you wish in our hearts. Tell us what you want of us, and Lord, help us to respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.